Hello, it's Dean Bowditch with Mr. Dean Lewington, Mr. MK himself. This is the first time that I'm doing this, so I thought I'd choose someone from the team who's not going to give me too much grief. So I chose probably the worst person, actually, thinking about it. But I just want to introduce the man, the legend that is Mr. Dean Lewington. Hello, Dean.
Good afternoon, Bowditch.
Seems really weird, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Seems really strange. I just want to firstly congratulate you on the birth of your new daughter. How are you feeling?
Yeah, really pleased. Little Lottie. I knew she would be off free weekend the week before she came, when she was due. So timing would have been lovely, but I knew that she would come around the game where I was as far away as possible. So rather than she came, but yeah, obviously delighted that she's here and enjoying those sleepless nights again and getting back into the swing of that stuff.
Unfortunately, I know too well how that feels at the moment, having a seven-month-old myself. So, yeah, sleepless nights is going to be one thing to think about. But Gemma all okay and Willow okay and everything like that?
It was really good. Gemma had a lot better experience this time than last, and we was only in hospital for about 14, 16 hours. So we was winning Friday, come out Saturday, so it was a really quick turnaround. Willow's been great with her, she loves her, she can't wait to see her every day. She's trying to touch her and almost trying to stop her so much, because she loves her so much. She just sort of wants to stroke her and be around her. But
nice.
It's been really nice, and it's definitely a handful now or two. It definitely does change the dynamic of things, but it's been great.
Well, I look forward to my second then.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's from me, from my family and everything like that, I'm really pleased that you've had another addition to the Lewington family, and I don't know whether you'll keep growing the family or not, but absolutely not. But it's really good, so congratulations.
Thank
mate.
You, man.
I just wanted to just have a bit of a chat, really. We spoke briefly before, just off air, really, about a few different things, about sort of life at MK Dons and the past, the present and the future. I mean, we'll just sort of touch on a few things, if you don't mind. I sort of done my research a little bit before we started. I might have got some of it slightly wrong, but 756 appearances, is that right?
For MK Dons. Yeah.
I mean, you made a few for Wimbledon, but we won't worry about that. So 756 appearances, and I know you hate this little stat I've written down here, but four sub appearances in that time.
Yeah, it's really
still, that is still incredible. So how does it feel to make so many appearances?
It's good.
It's amazing.
Yeah, you look back now, and obviously it's a lot of games and a lot of years, and I always look at that. The X-Files and the programme always makes me laugh, just because it always brings back memories of a team or a player that you've not necessarily thought about for a while, and that's what those games sort of represent, really, just different points in your life and teams and people you come across. But it also means that you get to do, you know, I love playing football, and it means that I've been able to do that for the best part of 16 years pretty much every Saturday, which is is the reason why we do it.
It's crazy though, because you know, I played professionally for 16 years, and there was a spell, obviously, when I was here, where I was enjoying my football the most. You know, I loved it. Don't get me wrong, I sort of coming through the academy and playing first team at Ipswich, and all that was brilliant. But I really enjoyed my time here, just on and off the pitch. But to sustain that at one club for that amount of time is incredible. And just how have you managed to sort of love the game for that long, and just every day and every week to sort of go out and put the performances you've been putting in? How have you managed it?
I mean, I think firstly, touch wood, injuries have always been fairly kind to me. I've never really had any big ones or anything that's kept me out for a serious amount of time, which I think does affect you both on off the pitch. It can sort of niggling away at you. And then secondly, it's just been, I wouldn't say easy, but it's just sort of kept on rolling, really. And you know, I love my football, I'm passionate about it, but at the same time, I can sort of set it aside, and it's football. And I spoke about earlier, I've got other things in my life, and my whole who I'm about is not just a football player. And I think that helps sometimes, that you know, you can pick it up and take it. You know, and you need to sort of have that break from it sometimes. And it's kind of served me well. I think it's you know, I've always always look forward to coming back in pre-season. I'm always look forward to coming in training on Monday. Over the last few years, always manager's been saying, do you want an extra day off? Or, as you get older, they sort of trying to look after you. And I can't think of anything worse. It's just love training, love playing. Just love everything that comes with football.
It's it is a testament to yourself for doing it for that many years. So I can only admire that. So fair play. Now I hope it continues, mate. Because we'll get onto that in a minute. Because I can't see it. I can't see you slowing down. I really can't see it. And I know we've spoken before about sort of perceptions of an age thing as you get older, have you slowing down and this, that and the other, but I can't see it through my eyes. So I hope that everyone else can see that as well. So long may that continue. But we're going to just go through a little bit just on the past to start with, obviously. I've just got a few questions that I just wanted to go through. And the first question I've actually written down, which I hope you're not going to be too biased, but who's your best roommate been? Who's your best roommate been in your time at MK Dons?
Obviously you, mate. Obviously.
who have you had? So who's your otherwise been?
I started off with...
So 6 years with me.
6 of you. Before that I had Kev Gallum, right. Andrew Rincey, JP McGovern, before that. Can't remember who I first had. I think it might have been possibly Wade Small, I think, when we first come up. When we was really younger. And then after that, I actually had 6 years of you. Sounds like my girlfriend, doesn't it? Always like girlfriend.
6 years, yeah. Six long, hard years.
I had a couple of years of Ed, Willow, a couple of years of Willow, and then Russ.
Yeah.
A brief spell with Russ.
What was he like? Oh, obviously not as weirdo. Good as me. Yeah. Weirdo. What was he like as a roommate?
He was good, Russ. He was really good. He was... obviously now the manager, but after every training session, he would go through the session, analyse it. Did he think it was good? Did he think it was bad? What did he change? And a proper football man, we'd always talk football in the room, what about this player, what about that player? Yeah. Sort of those kind of conversations. But he was a vegan, so he's, as you know, he couldn't have our milky stars that me and you used to enjoy. So that was a downfall. He didn't bring any sweets or any
do,
kind
do
of
know, stuff. Do you know what? I've got a funny story. I don't know if you remember, but it was one away trip, and you'll probably be able to light me on where we was, but we used to, probably stupidly, we used to bring a few sweets and chocolate and stuff like that to a room, and we wouldn't eat them all at once. We'd save some for going home and stuff like that, but we used to have a few sweets and chocolates in the room. But there was the time with the Magic Stars. Do you remember the Magic Stars when we dropped them? And just cut a long story short, but when you're lying there and you start getting peckish and you think, Louis, can you open those Magic Stars? And literally the force you tried to open those stars at, the stars went everywhere. And we thought, oh no, we're gonna have to pick them up. And I remember looking down at the floor and the carpet was exactly the same size star shapes.
Brown
star shaped carpet. And we couldn't find any of them, could we? We was on our knees for hours trying to...
That was Exeter away.
Was it?
And you scored.
Did I?
We won 2-0 and you scored about a couple minutes ago, do you remember?
Was it?
Yeah.
Was it a header?
No, you got played through and you toe-poked it under the keeper.
I knew, this is the thing, you seem to remember everything about every game, but that for me was one of the funniest times because we just couldn't stop laughing, could we? We were trying to pick them up. And then about 2 hours later, we would find another one. And I want to say we ate them, did we?
We did, of course we did, yeah. Can't waste
Magic
Stars,
mate. That is terrible, but so best roommate, thank you very much. Best player you've ever played with in your time? And obviously, me aside.
Yeah. I'll say you're obviously number one, but we know that. So I think it'd be close between Delhi and Keith. Delhi was naturally phenomenal. He was talented, and he's everything that everyone's seen him do since, sort of thing. You could recognise that from quite young. But Keith was a really good player. Mm. Really good. He was
Keith Andrews.
Yeah. He was a much better player than what you got credit for, but he was. He was the biggest driver of standards and a proper captain. Yeah. He was a real force of nature, Keith. Everything about him was just proper, and he was a good player to go with it. And in, the 2 years that he was here, I think he scored something 25 goals from midfield.
Wow.
Incredible. He was you know, and he went on to have a really good career with Ireland and the Premiership as well, which was great. But I think Dele probably just pips him on sort of natural ability and yeah. and flair, but you know, Keith would be a very close second.
Yeah, I worked with both as well. Obviously, played with Dele, but Keith came in as a coach, yeah. and you could see that straight away. His standards were so high,
yeah.
so I could only imagine what he was like on the pitch. So yeah, that, yeah. fair enough. Like the two you picked have been pretty good.
Well, he was called. We used to nickname him Jerry Adams because he was such an angry Irishman. That was his like. He was because he just wouldn't suffer excuses or a lack of anything. And he was a main catalyst at the start of things going in the right direction. To fair Keith.
Most annoying player.
Oh, it's been so.
I'm not going to say worst player because that just sounds bad. But most annoying that you've played with, apart from me.
Most annoying. God, dear, there's been a few. I'm going to pick someone, not for the most annoying player to play against is Reevesy, because he drops his shoulder.
Nicely swerved.
About 10 times. You stand behind him. He has a pass 10 yards away that you just think to play it. And he drops your shoulder once, twice, and you have to sort of do this little dance behind him, and then he passes the ball anyway. And because he's so little, and he's got that kind of change of movement,
yeah.
he's a real tricket, and he's so annoying to play up against. There have been lots of very annoying players to play with as well, but yeah. just really just for that annoying to play against.
In training, he was one of the ones that you could just never get a ball off.
Yeah.
You could never, because he's so small as well.
Yeah.
Like you try and, like I'm guessing from your point of view, like defending, you try and get your elbow in and you're basically like elbowing him in the ear.
Yeah, he's underneath you.
You can't get close yeah. to him. But yeah, I can see that, especially from a striker as well, when he's like going in on goal and he's chopping and chopping and yeah. chopping. Like you don't know when to run, you don't know what to do. But
I would add Izzel to that list as well.
Izzel.
That boy.
Has he just walked past?
No, but I just, geez, that boy. He used to miss. He used to score from 40 yards a bicycle kick,
yeah.
and you'd be like, I don't know how you've done that. And then he used to run across the 6-yard box and fall over, or hit his left foot, or his right. His catalogue of goals is unbelievable, but his misses would be up there as well.
But he'll still obviously keep telling you he's the top all-time goal scorer for MK Dons. So he never, a day doesn't go by that I don't hear Izzel tell me that he's still top, because I'm third, you know. He always
gloats.
Yeah, joint third now.
Where am I?
You've got to be in the top 10, surely. I think I wrote down here, what have you got, 24 goals?
Yeah,
what did you have? 48. But then you've played
750
games. From left back, though.
Not a great
from
ratio. Yeah.
The problem is that I found, just quickly on that, why haven't you in the past taken more free kicks? Because your left foot from set pieces, from open play, is one of the best left foot that I've worked with. So why haven't you stepped up and taken more penalties and free kicks, in my opinion?
Yeah, I don't like penalties. There's something about them. I think I missed one when I was about 6 or 7. Mentally scarred me, I think. I was a five-a-side tournament. Free kicks, I don't know, because every now and then I step up and I score, and I should do it. You know, you've been, obviously, we practice and stuff, and you know, you're pretty good at it. But I don't know. There's just something about them that probably not practice them enough to make it a real speciality. And I think strikers are naturally more confident. And I think when someone yeah. really fancies it, you sort of let them take it if they really feel like they want to. But they're gonna score. I'm always sort of like, oh, you have it then, sort of thing. But
yeah.
it is something I should have done.
Free kicks, especially. I get the penalties because it's for a striker. When a striker's maybe a bit off form or they're on a run of form and you want them to carry on going, you just give them the chance yeah. of scoring an easy goal. But free kicks, especially, like I'll get on to Russ and see if we can get you on free Jeez, kicks. Just quickly, in the past, we'll just run through these as quick as we can. Best game you've ever played in? Or favourite game?
The Preston game.
Preston?
No, it wasn't Preston, was it? Yeovil.
Yeovil, when Preston lost away at Colchester and we got promoted. Yeah,
yeah, it felt like there was two games going on.
It was quality, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was a great game.
What a day that was.
That was, yeah.
Worst game?
One
you've been most disappointed with? Upset at, or what?
Some of the relegations over the years have been pretty disappointing. I think we lost once 5-0 to Rochdale. We didn't go down, but I think we lost 5-0. Hartlepool lost 5-0 a couple of times, and they were like real, like, we felt really like down,
yeah,
more so than the relegation sometimes. I think definitely a Hartlepool 5-0 that was in there once that it felt pretty as low as you could probably get.
I remember playing a game, it was away at Stevenage, and Stevenage when they were flying and they were sort of up in the playoffs and stuff, and we went there and we lost, I think it was 4-2 or 4-1 or something like that. But I remember at that time walking off that pitch and being as down as I've ever been,
yeah,
from a personal point of view, because I think I was horrendous.
No.
But as a team, we were so poor, and it felt like, how are we going to get any better?
Yeah.
Because, and all credit to Stevenage, at that time they were phenomenal and they had like full house week in, week out. Their support was a joke.
Yeah.
But from our point of view, we were so bad, and that just sticks out in my memory, yeah, as one of my worst games in an MK Don, yeah, shirt. But you know, there you go. I asked in the office quickly before I came up. I said, "Has anyone got any questions they want to ask Louis when I go upstairs?" Jack Sharp, who is a massive MK Dons fan, just asked, "Have you ever been close to leaving?"
Yeah, a few times. Yeah. When I was younger, it was pretty much every season. Really, was kind of like there would be teams coming in and sort of offers and that kind of stuff. And I agreed a contract with Huddersfield. I think it was back in about 2006. I think, before Martin Allen come in, we went down. And I think I spoke to Martin Allen, and it just didn't really feel like it was something that I wanted it to be. Around sort of thing, and Huddersfield to come in, and I was also to go, agreed contracts, and I think there was a player coming in the opposite direction, and it kind of stalled around that player, and then it didn't happen for whatever reason, and that was that. And then there was a couple after Ince left that year, I think, same thing, I agreed a contract with Fulham, the clubs couldn't come to a deal with the valuation and stuff, and those have been the two really where I've agreed contracts with other teams. Apart from that, it's always been, you know, like the early stages of like people coming in saying, "We're going to bid for you and we're going to do this," but it's just never got over that sort of hurdle. Or, and as you know, like, you know, they get to a point where the club say no, and then they ask you to sort of become like a bit of a bad egg and sort of drive that wedge so that the club want to sell you, and that's something that I've never been prepared to do, sort of thing. So whenever it sort of got to a point, I've just accepted it and been happy to stay.
Well, we've been very lucky. Yeah. We've been very lucky then, by the sounds of it, to still have you here after so many years. And that is the past, mate. I don't want to ask too many, because we could literally sit for hours talking about the amount of games you played and this, that and the other. And I'll be honest, it gets boring after a while. So we're going to just come into the current, the present. So what's going on at the moment? And it's been a up and down season so far. Just tell us a little bit of your opinion about how the season's gone so far.
Yeah, exactly that. It started reasonably okay. I think we won 4, lost 4, did all right in the cups, and it was looking like we would be, you know, middle to the top of the table, really. And then sort of the wheels just come off. It was just like it was, there's some injuries, and we changed like shape slightly, and it just affected everything that we did before. Like before, I mean, we knew exactly what we were doing. The 3-4-3 just really suited us, and then went to a 3-5-2, and it sounds so ridiculous that one player difference, but it just knocked the whole team, just lost the rhythm, and they lost what jobs they were supposed to do. And you know, as you know, like any kind of grey area, the more grey areas there are, it just, you know, who's marking him, who's supposed to be going to him, who's doing that, and it, you know, and things go down, and people then start protecting themselves, and they don't maybe do a job because it's not really their job, they've not been told to do it because it's kind of that grey area. And you know, that started happening, and then before you knew it, it just sort of, it snowballed, and confidence went downhill, and it just got to a point where it just, you couldn't really see it improving, which was such a shame, because you know, everyone really liked Tears and enjoyed working under him, and
you know, he was a really nice guy.
Yeah, he was a really nice bloke. Really nice, he was really proper, and everyone were with him, his coaches, and the people he brought in were all liked, and you know, it wasn't like boys stopped trying, or At the end, really.
Yeah. And then on, you just said about sort of creating a spark or something different, and then obviously change of manager, and I'll be first to say I was really surprised with the appointment, because Russ, for me, was doing so well on the pitch. Yeah. You know, it was still one of the players who just was steady, like didn't really do a lot wrong, was, you could tell he's classy and stuff like that. And then he gets offered the manager's job and you think, where the hell's that come from? But what has he done in such a short space of time to suddenly make it sort of so different and sort of lift the whole place?
Well, it was really, it was a quick turnaround. Like,
yeah.
He took it, and it did, I think I found out about 6:15 after the game, I hadn't left the stadium, and I sort of knew that he was going to take over. And he just come in and just made it, he changed the shape, changed the formation straight away. And then he said, listen, we're going to just press. We're just going to get after. The nearest man runs after the ball. And we're going to attack it, and we're going to be hard to beat. And we just worked on that, really, just being just nearest man goes. The first 10 days, 2 weeks, it was just Russ and Rye.
Yeah.
Luke wasn't here then. And I was really impressed with Russ's coaching. The week's training was as good as I've ever had.
I remember you said it to me. Yeah.
Like really top coaching, just simple ideas. You knew where you were going, you knew who was going, and when he went, where you went. It was all, you know, just took a lot of the uncertainty out and made it really simplified on what we were doing. And it's something you can buy into straight away. You know, it's not like a massively complex thing that's going to take months. It was like the first step, right, this is what we're going to do. The first games were pretty good in terms of what we were doing, but I think we lost four of his life.
It was four of his first four games or something like that.
It was difficult, first few games.
Straight away.
But you could see the performances were slightly...
The performance were lifting, yeah.
Yeah.
And then Luke come in, and he just has this way of... Russ wants to play a certain way with the ball, and Luke just coaches it.
Yeah.
The best I've ever had, really, in terms of trying to play out and passing and movement. And then sort of over the last sort of 8 weeks, it's just evolved.
Yeah.
And we keep saying, like, you know, it's really hard during a season to tear up what you've been doing and start again afresh while you have a Tuesday and a Saturday. You don't really have time to work in it. So it's sort of testament to them, really, that they managed to have such an overhaul while still getting points, because sometimes it doesn't always go sort of hand in hand. It's, you know, like pre-season stuff that we do, and it's long hours playing out for the back and all this kind of stuff. So it's been great. And they've changed everything around. They've changed the culture of the place. The signings they brought in have been excellent. You know, really good in the change room, good players, and it's all just gelled, and results have come, and we're sort of, you know, looking a lot more positive again.
You can feel it throughout the whole place, and I think that's the kind of vibe he's trying to get. And he's the type of manager that goes to the sort of backroom offices and goes around and speaks to people, and he's not one of these managers who just goes on the training pitch and goes home. He wants to sort of get involved with everything to do with the football club, because it's not just about sort of the football doing well. It's the whole club needs to sort of buy into it, and I think he's building that at the moment, and it's something that I from my point of view now, from the other side of the fence, it's quite exciting to see where this football club can go. And sort of just that neatly sort of ties me into sort of my next question, and what are the expectations for this season?
It has to be safety.
Yeah.
I think you know, we've had a good run, and one defeat in six, where it is, and we were picked up a lot, but we're still in a position where you still have to look over your shoulder and sort of finish that off, really. So hopefully sort of the next 6 to 8 games we can do that, and you know, the last few games are not sort of as nerve-wracking as what they could be. That is really the objective, because looking at the sort of where the playoffs lines are, it's probably a little bit too far out of our reach to sort of get there, but you know, first job is safety, and then once we get that, then I think we'll start looking at trying to get as high up the table as we possibly can.
So ultimately, safety is massively key. Just looking at that next team above you and thinking, right, can we get past them, just trying to take it a step at a time. But ultimately, you're right, being safe this season is the most important thing, and then you can kick on from there. So absolutely. But the last two games has been very difficult. Two away games, Portsmouth, Rotherham. Obviously, the Portsmouth game didn't quite work out, but tough place to go.
Yeah.
you know, on another day it might have been slightly differently, as we might have gone slightly differently. And then Rotherham, obviously top of the table, coming away with a point is a fantastic result. And two very tough games, but that leads us into coming back to home for the weekend in Doncaster. Sort of, how do you see that going?
Well, hopefully positively. I think we've had a tough run really for probably since Russ took over. Like we've had a lot of tough games, a lot of teams in form, and you said like Portsmouth, Rotherham are probably the two hardest away games that you can have. Like back in Donny have picked up really. They look like they might be a little bit mid-table, but the last few results they've picked up, and they'll be going for a playoff spot. So it's going to be a tough game. I think it helps that they've got something to go for as well.
Yeah.
So it should be quite entertaining, and hopefully it's two teams having a go, and we come out on top, I think.
We're starting to make Stadium MK a bit of a fortress of late, and every time we have a home game, it almost feels like I see us winning this. So going into the game, you've got to be confident, right?
Yeah, I think five wins out of six, I think it is, and there's some good teams in that list as well that we've beaten here. So we're really confident. I think there's, you played it, there's something about this place, isn't there?
Yeah,
there's like that. It's different to other stadiums in the league, so there definitely is that home comfort. When you get it right here, it can be a really hard place for teams to come. The pitch is massive, and I think there's that little bit of a fear factor really that teams, like when we used to have sort of Carl, teams used to hate coming because they knew that they'd be chasing after us for 9 minutes. You used to see them before the game, and they'd be just like, I'm not looking forward
look
to
how,
this day.
Look how big that pitch is. And they're going to make us run on every grade of grass.
I think that is slowly starting to come back, and that's what you sort of need to create really, that sort of fear factor about teams coming here.
How good is Reece Healy?
He's all right, isn't he? He's all right. He's
he reminds me of a young Dean Bowditch.
Same kind of hair.
He's been exceptional, right? He's been unbelievable.
He's so effective at what he does. He's one of them where sometimes he's a bit of a shin, knee, chest, and it falls to him. Like it's because he does the right things. He attacks with pace, and he hits the right lines and stuff. But he's finishing second to none, to be fair to him. He's a top player. You don't want to play against him.
Yeah.
For his size, he's an absolute handful.
Yeah.
No, he backs into your. He's just a real
menace.
Yeah, he's rough and he's horrible and he's and he's and he's relentless. He'll take you on.
Yeah.
Every time he gets it, it takes you on. He's not one of them that wants to turn out and play back. Give me the ball, I'll take him on.
As a defender, so I was probably slightly different in that. I wouldn't want to go up against people, and I'd like to try and find little spaces and pockets and try and play and come off people. And as a defender, the one thing that you always used to say to me is like, the worst thing about a winger is when you've had the best of him for like four or five attacks, and then he just gets the ball and he keeps running at you and keeps running at you and keeps running at you, and it's almost like, mate, will you stop running at me?
Yeah.
And Reece is a bit like that.
He just keeps on going at you.
Yeah.
And he's got two decent feet, so he comes inside and if he does a chop, or defenders believe that he can have a shot with his right and his left, which makes him dangerous, and he can sort of faint both ways, and he will just keep on going. I think a lot of his goals, especially here, have been quite late in games, and I think Rochdale game especially, he missed a couple with about 10 to go, and then he got the penalty at the end, so he just keeps on going. He doesn't shy away or hide from it. He just, give me the ball.
Really important player, and he was sorely missed, wasn't he, when he was injured.
So to
have him back in the team and firing is quality, and it's good to see. But now going into the future, that's the present. We've done the past. We've done the present. What does the future hold for Mr. MK Dean Lunton?
Who knows? Who knows?
Another 750 games?
Definitely not. I think it's just take it as it comes. Really, there's no targets or. So I want to play this long or for this many more games. It's just, as you said earlier about the age stuff, like I just want to be judged as everyone else is, like, are you good enough? And if the answer is yes, then I'd keep playing. And if the answer is like, no, you're kind of a bit of a liability, then you'll naturally be, it's time to go sort of thing. So I'll just keep on going. I feel great. I feel good. And as you know, we get monitored for everything now, and all my stats and everything are better than what they've been in previous years, so it's not like it's not a case of slowing down. So I feel good, and you know, as long as I've got something to offer them and they want to offer it to me, then I'm happy to keep going.
I just can't see you slowing down. It's actually crazy, and being sort of a couple of years younger than you and sort of feeling the way that I feel at the moment, I just don't know. Like I remember we've had conversations before, and we'll quickly wrap this up, but how some players physically are born to play football and some aren't. And I feel like my physicality and my body wasn't really made to play football, but I've just worked at it and I had a bit of a talent and I just rode with it. But I knew I was going to have knocks along the way and a few little... You physically just seem to be made to play football. So I can't see it slowing down. Another 750 games, I'll give you a target of 1,500 games. And if they don't, I've written down here, if they don't dip you in gold and put a statue outside the front of the stadium, then something is truly wrong with this football club. So thank you very much for speaking to us today, Louis. It's been rather long, but it's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you, Mr. Rhodes.
Cheers, mate.
Cheers, bud.